from Marvel Studios.
So you're a race of noble warriors?
Heroes. Noble warrior heroes.
Oh, oh.
On March 8th.
So how do you expect us to put the fate of the universe in the hands of one person?
I don't think you have a choice.
Marvel Studios, Captain Marvel.
Is Fury your real name? What does your mom call you?
Just Fury.
In cinemas March 8th. Click on the ad to see more.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. The Bay Area Betches.
Betches!
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hot dang! It's Jessica Dang.
Lisa Wallant. Now that's what I call Wallentainment.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Sarah Greenwood. She only uses her power for good.
Ashley Schiavone. She don't take no baloney.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Kelly Barlow. When she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Hannah.
God, I love that banana.
Anderson.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon Atavacan and Anthony.
The incredible Edible Matthew Sisters.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster.
We love you guys. Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on Ye Olde Bravs. I'm Ronnie Karam. You can also find me at the Rose Pricks Bachelor Roast Podcast, which is coming to a close. Only 4 episodes left, so get over there and listen to them. They're amazing. And here I am with my gorgeous co-host, partner, and internet husband, Mr. Ben Mandelker, who also produces and writes... there's somebody outside my house. Who also produces and writes The Real Housewives of Kitchen Island over on El Youtubo. Hi, Ben.
Hi, I kind of wish I also produced and wrote something called There's Somebody Outside My House, because that sounds very exciting.
Our lifetime career begins now. Someone's outside my house.
I spent several hours animating the latest episode this weekend, so I'm really excited. I'm hoping I'm going to be done with it by the end of the week, because I'm going to just say this much. There's a cliffhanger. There's a cliffhanger this episode. Carol's marathon. Things go awry.
That's funny. Everybody, we are traveling for the next couple of weeks. We will be in DC this Friday. It sold out. Or Saturday, Friday. It sold out. Sorry, yeah. But we'll see you in DC, everybody. We're covering the Real Housewives of New York premiere, and then we'll be in South by Southwest on Tuesday. That's kind of a weird show. Badge holders get in first, so we'll see you, badge holders. If you're not a badge holder, go line up. You've RSVP'd already. You get in next after badge holders, so don't freak out. But it's a big house. I'm pretty sure everyone's going to get in, so still come. It's Tuesday at noon.
Yeah, and I think it's at 12:30. Either way, it's on the website. It's going to be super, super fun. And like Ronnie said, like we feel like we'll be able to get everyone in because it's, I mean... It's not like all those hipsters are going to be lining up to see us with their badges. So.
Yeah, doubt it. But, you know, you guys will. So let's do it. Let's do this. And then after that, we're going to be doing 2 shows in Cincinnati on Saturday. One show is sold out. The other is not sold out. It's a daytime show. We just created another show earlier to get the runoff of people who didn't get a chance to get tickets. So that's going to be a really fun, like, happy hour type show, which is like the regular show, but drunker. So just think of it like that.
Yeah, that will be really fun. I'm actually really excited for that early show. I feel like that early show we're going to be crazy, Ronnie, because it's going to be like, I don't know. I feel like we're just going to be, you know, like when we do a late night show, when we do the podcast and we're crazy. I feel like for some reason, a happy hour show, we're just going to be like, fuck it. Let's just be crazy today.
I think so. Yeah. You know, we love a loopy show.
We do love a loop.
Go to watchitcrappens.com to get tickets for that and all of our other shows. We've got a ton of them coming up, but I don't want to like waste all of our beginning of this episode talking about that. But also,
we're keeping up
the Luann shirts a little while longer because it is the premiere week for Real Housewives of New York. So we're going to keep the Luann shirts and leggings. Your pictures and videos have been coming in. They are hilarious of you guys wearing those leggings and shirts. It makes us so proud. So thank you for that. Find all that at watchwhatcrappens.com. And now,
big episode here. Okay, so this is classic Watch What Crappens form. We made a big stink last week, and on the internet, we're like, you know what, Atlanta, you are being punished for having a bad season. We're putting Top Chef on Mondays, and we'll do a check-in with Atlanta. So, of course, as soon as we do that, we finally get, like, an episode where people do more than just eat some macaroni, okay? Like, so now, of course, we're like, oh, great, now Atlanta does a good episode. So, we decided we're going to King Solomon it. Is it King Solomon or King David? I don't know. Split the child in half. We're going to do Atlanta and Top Chef today.
Yes, we're going to do both. Sorry, Atlanta. You know, sorry we dissed you like that, but it seems to have helped your show because, wow, what a great show.
Yeah, sometimes tough love is what these shows need.
Because they weren't edited months ago, okay? This is all because of us.
They listened to us, and then they're like, okay, now let's edit the show. Let's do it right now.
Okay, so we're going to do these recaps a little bit more quickly, but we're doing both the recaps. Okay, so just deal with it.
We're just going to, you know what? We're going to follow our hearts.
Oh, that's so not dungeon dancing of you.
I know.
So with Real Housewives of Orange County, no, not yet. We're still mad at you, Orange County. Okay, you've got some time. Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Yeah.
So we opened the Candy's Dungeon Factory. Dungeon Factory auditions, yeah.
It's like the worst version of Chicago you've ever seen in your life.
It is. And the choreography is Chicago choreography. It's a total ripoff.
Yeah, it's like not Fosse, it's like Fawcett. It's just like
Fawcett. It's like drip.
It's
drip. Drip.
It's just like this has been inspired by Kohler, you know? Like and I was just watching it. And also like the one shred of warmth I got from it was that it reminded me of the scene in Soap Dish where Elizabeth Shue comes in with balloons to the soap opera auditions, because that's what it looked like. I felt like everyone there should have been like, would you like some more water? Would you like some more water? Would you like some more water? Like, where's Casas Mandalore? Where is he?
Well, low budge Chicago for sure. I also think this is basically Todd's audition for a third. Because, you know, we know now that they kind of like a third sometimes and they get kind of kinky in that family. And I think they're just basically looking for a third because they have weird rules. Like, a group comes in and then Todd's like, oh, yeah. And Candy's like, don't point, Todd, don't point. And she's like, you can only pick two from a group, which is weird. I don't think
that she can only, she said you can only pick two from, I think she said, I thought that she was saying there was only two that were worthwhile.
I mean, I thought she said you can only pick two. And I was like, this is an odd audition, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I was like, I was hoping for a more exciting opening to the episode. I was like, okay, all right. So it's like nothing's happening. And then of course, Don Juan walks in and is like, we have another auditioner who just wants to audition solo. So I thought it was going to be Shamari. I just assumed Shamari was going to come in in a Target wig and doing some weird-ass Shamari thing, you know, where maybe she'd like twirl around, then eat some, you know, rice and then pass out, you know?
I was hoping for Mama Joyce, personally.
That would have been nice. I would have liked that. Mama Joyce just comes in and just scolds them.
Yeah, or at least a little chocolate. What was that guy's name? Dictacular? What was his name?
Ridiculous?
Ridiculous, yes. That is wrong, Candy! Wrong!
That was back when we thought Mama Joyce was like an upstanding member of society who was like more of a prude and conservative and soft-spoken. That was before her crazy was unleashed. I think Ridiculous actually unleashed Mama Joyce's crazy.
Yeah, I think that's when it opened the floodgates of cuckoo for Mama Joyce. Because, she got way crazier after she got slapped in the face with a penis.
Yeah, it happens. It happens.
It happens, yeah.
So instead, Cynthia wanders in and she's like, child, I'm going to be sexy right now. I'm going to be so sexy. Yeah. Candy, sit in this chair and just pretend to be a kitchen island. I'm going to circle around you and pour a glass of ginger ale and put it on top of you.
Candy, just pretend to be a kitchen island and I'll wipe you down. I'm going to take the crumbs off of you. Then I'm going to wet a sponge and I'm going to get the coffee stains out.
Let me love you down, Kitchen Island.
That Kitchen Island had it coming. That Kitchen Island had it coming, child. That Kitchen Island only has itself to blame.
Give him the old Kitchen Island.
Kitchen Island, So Candy's like, yeah, she can't dance for shit, but she's famous, so she's gonna sell some dungeon tickets, so she's in.
Yeah, exactly. Plus, you know, Cynthia likes, I think, once a season to like enter an audition and be like, child, this world is for me. Like, I feel like every season there's some weird audition that someone's holding, and she walks in like, guess what, I'm in a new wig and a new outfit, and I'm perfect for you.
Cynthia's dancing was really... I used to work on a dinner cruise that would go around New York City, and we would sing. Like, the waiters were singers. You know, I was a singing waiter. Shocker, I know, everybody. And everybody would get wasted. So, like, everybody would come on at 6:30 and be super nice. Then by 7:30, they're shit-faced and, like, fucking in the hallways. And this is totally when the Macarena came on, okay? Cynthia's dance. It was, like, the same choreography. It was just bad, bad secretary...
Yeah.
Drunk secretary on a dinner cruise dancing.
Elaine, what's her face? Elaine Bennis at the Christmas party. Or this guy named John Paul, who was at, when I used to work at this one company at the Christmas party, John Paul got wasted and took off his shirt and was like dancing. And we were on the Queen Mary too. And I was just like, I'm on a ship and the receptionist is shirtless dancing. This is weird. So then we go over to the Swagga boutique.
Swagga.
Where, you know what's funny? So, like, Nini's there and she's got all sorts of work. She needs an assistant. She's doing the inventory. And it was funny because earlier that day, I happened to be watching 227. I watched a few episodes. And one of the episodes was this backdoor pilot that they did once, which I remember actually watching as a child. And the backdoor pilot was called Jack A. And basically, Sandra moves to New York City and gets a job at a gym. And it was like like beyond terrible, beyond terrible.
Ooh, Mary.
And like the whole reason why she moves up there is that she starts like dating a guy who says that he's like a film producer, but it turns out he's like a porno film producer. So she followed a porno director or whatever to New York, and then she was like stranded in New York. It's like, well, what do I do now? The point is this: watching Nini in Swag Boutique, I was like, I felt like Nini was trying to get like a backdoor pilot, a la Jack Hay. Go on, she's like, just me and my wacky employees here at Swagga Boutique.
I feel like that still happens to Jack Hay every once in a while.
Yeah.
Someone's like, I've got a project for you, and she just moves to a new state.
She just does it.
Yeah. Nini, yeah, I don't know. I don't need a pilot watching people folding jeans, but, you know, there's rumors that they're going to make a pilot of Vanderpump Dogs, and that sounds stupid and terrible, and I'll probably love it. I'll probably watch every single episode, so who knows?
I feel like I am actually not here for a Vanderpump Dogs pilot, because... honestly, and this has nothing to do with the fact that I'm more of a cat person than a dog person, I think there'll be too much sort of like, oh, like Sarah McLachlan adopt a dog stuff going through it, you know? It'll be like too, like, you know, like too many like sad dogs and like we got to find a home for the dog. And like if I want like my petty drama to be in a fully petty environment, not anything with any sort of like do-gooder undertones, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. But you have to remember that this is a dog place that only saves cute dogs. Like, there's
That's
never
true.
An ugly dog. They let the ugly dogs die. They're very shallow. They only save cute ones. So, you know, there's enough shallowness to push this forward, I think. And also all the gay drama. I mean, oh my God. John Blizzard versus John Sessa versus Ken. You know, because he's like, I fought with Ken. I mean, anyway. We're saying we're going to make this a quick recap and then now look at
us. I know, look
we're
at
talking
us.
About
it's my fault.
And dogs, Vanderpump
It's
dogs.
My fault. I just did an extensive, like, tangent about Jack Hay's spinoff. So, anyway. So, Swag Boutique. So we learn Greg is back home from the hospital at last, and really the most exciting part about this is that Ivana walks in. Yovana walks back in, and
I'm that bitch.
Yeah,
Yovana.
I'm that bitch. The moment she walked in, I was like, Nini basically wants to recast Tanya right now. I think that's what's happening right now. She's going to bring Yovana in and start pushing Tanya out.
That's what happens. They messed with Nini, so now she's bringing somebody in to fight for her because this girl is also anti-Eva, who now she's mad at, or, you know, was mad at. So, yeah, Nini's so petty. And it's really working well for this episode. Sometimes Nini's pettiness just goes off the rails and it's not fun. This is fun because it's kind of like the other show we're recapping today, Last Chance Kitchen. Where
or
like
Top Chef.
Top Chef, where the new chef comes in and is terrible, but then gets a second chance. You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
and
exactly.
So this is Yovana's second audition.
Yeah.
So, yeah, basically Yovana comes in and Nini's like, well, look, I think you just should say I'm sorry and move on, you know, which Nini is always so free to give that advice, but she never,
always.
Ever takes that advice.
Never. Never.
Yovana's like, well, I'll say I'm sorry, but what I will say is I'm sorry, but not for saying that that girl's a bitch, because that girl's a fucking bitch. I hate that bitch. So it's like, yeah, Yovana, like, you
Yovana,
go with your
this
second
is this
chance.
Really, like, this? Do you really care that Eva did not remember who you were? Is this really, like, the most important thing for you right now? So, basically, Benini announces that she's going to be doing a bi-wig party, and basically everyone's going to show up with no wigs, no extensions, no anything, just your natural hair.
Yeah.
which is ironic for something else later on.
Which is really only fun because we all want to see Nini's hair. Like, everybody's like, does she have any? What is it like?
Yeah.
Is it like George Bush Senior hair? Is it, you know? Okay. So
yeah.
Then, yeah. So Eva with the wedding planner. Fuck this storyline.
This storyline can die.
Fuck you, Eva, for making me watch it again. And fuck you, weddings in general. Fuck you, weddings.
Okay? Yeah, and also, like, fuck you, Eva, for trying to put a positive spin on it. Because she was, like, basically she realized that she looked like an asshole the last episode by complaining that she didn't have a reception dress. And she's like, so now she's like, listen, the dresses were beautiful. They were beautiful. Just not for me. And, you know, I just have a lot. And I still don't have a reception dress. I'm like, bitch, wear your wedding dress, okay? Like 99% of brides wear their wedding dress the entire night. So, or day. Just relax, okay? You'll be fine.
Yeah. I don't care about this. Like,
I don't.
Good that it's a short recap. So we could just be like, no, stupid.
Yeah, exactly. And there was some bullshit about like, oh, but now they're over budget and they have to just move into Atlanta proper. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I don't feel bad.
Should've thought about that before you decide to get married, okay?
People are hungry.
It's called an Excel spreadsheet, okay?
Yeah, you better Google Doc that shit before you complain to us.
Yeah, it's like get a calculator and an Excel spreadsheet and then kick yourself in the face because guess what? The Excel spreadsheet has the calculator in it. Booyah!
So then we go back to Nini with her assistant and she's saying, you know, I wanted to have this party because people are saying things to me like, you don't have hair. And then we get a clip of someone being like, with your bald ass. And then you don't have edges. Then we get a clip of Claudia being like, get some edges.
My favorite. I still am so mad that Claudia was only on for one season. I mean, that moment was so amazing. How does she not get another episode when they bring up that clip every single time?
Yeah.
Another season, I should say.
Yeah, I don't know what was wrong with her. I had no problem with her lack of
Nini,
a storyline.
It was Nini. I guarantee Nini was like, she's not allowed back. It's bullshit. They should bring Claudia Jordan back.
I saw Nini on Watch What Happens Live, by the way, last night. She's the worst. Like, she is really terrible. She's so up her own ass because she has this new show coming out, or she was in Canada to do this new show.
Yeah.
And he asked her about Peter. He's like, so what do you think about Peter and his checks bouncing or whatever?
Oh, God.
And
yeah,
she's like,
writing fake checks.
I didn't know. Ha, ha, ha. And she was just like laughing and being like, shocker. And then he was like, don't you like Peter? And she's like, yeah, I love Peter. I was like, you're a dick. And then, even though she's right, I mean, she's not wrong. And then they had a poll and they were like, she's like, I don't care that I kick people out of the closet. You can't just do whatever you want in someone's house. What if someone just came to your house and picked up the baby? And he's like, you could do that. She's like, no, you couldn't. And then that she's going on and on. So he's like, here's a poll that you can vote on right now, which of course lasted 2 seconds, the poll. And it came up, whose side are you on, Nini or Marlo? And it was all the other side. You know, it was like 86% against Nini. And he goes, well, what do you think of the poll saying that you're wrong? And she goes, listen here, poll. She starts
listen to your poll.
She faces the camera and starts telling off the poll. So good.
I love that. Well, she used to work on the poll, so also we should mention, for those of you who don't know what we're talking about with Peter, he was arrested last week because he was writing fake checks. I mean,
come on,
Peter's brute. Yeah. What a low life he is.
I was
so
hoping
now,
he'd be arrested for cutting out like Xerox copies of his own picture and then pasting them on Folgers cans. But, you know, you take what you can get.
Folgers is too highbrow. It's like not even Maxwell House. I think it's like Sanka.
Yeah, it's like instant.
Maybe even. It's like, I think it's just like generic, like Walmart brand instant coffee. I think that's what he's taking.
So then we get the hint of the newest drama, because Nene has to call Cynthia because Greg was readmitted to the hospital because he had a blood clot in his leg. Mm-hmm. And Greg was texting Cynthia and Marlo saying, my wife is freaking out. Please go help my wife. Go help my wife.
Yeah.
And so Marlo, who never really gets to have a diary room session, is like,
yes.
Well, he never texts me, but he said check on my wife. So I go across town. I stop my beauty treatment. She's not answering. She's not answering my calls. And I'm like, bitch, you ignoring me.
And I was like, uh-oh, this is not going to end well.
Exactly. So meanwhile, Nini's at her house. She's wearing like a shmata because she doesn't want to have like a big reveal of her hair on camera just yet, even though it's like the hair we've seen her wear many times before. So she's walking around and she's like getting everything ready. She's like telling the people, like the people working there, like, make sure to feed Marlo lots of crab so she can grow her hair back, which I didn't fully understand, but I appreciated. I liked it. I liked the spirit of it.
Yeah. And she was acting all happy. She was wearing like a Doris Day scarf over her head. And they were even playing Frank Sinatra music. And she's being nice. She's like, ha ha ha, yeah. Hold on. Cynthia, this is Nene. I'm very, you know, like switching back and forth, which is just so weird to watch. You know? I'm not calling her pain fake, but it was really weird to watch that scene.
Yeah.
Because then she'd like be like, I'm sad now. I'm happy again. I'm so sad right now because I'm on the phone. So then she starts dancing around the house, like, get ready. And they're playing Frank Sinatra music, and she's, like, kicking. But then they kept intercutting it with, like, 6 hours later. And she's like, oh!
Yeah, it goes 4 hours later, and you just see Nene go, Marlo, support me, bitch! Support me, bitch! I was like, whoa.
Yeah, so, and then then it's her kicking again. 4.5 later, it's, I'm gonna fuck you up! Like, I love this. I was cracking up watching this show.
So now it's like 3:00. And because every time something happens on this episode, they put like giant timestamps on the screen, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like 3 p.m. And Candy shows up. And, you know, people are starting to show up. And Eva shows up. And Eva's like, I've been known for a few things. And one of them is my hair. So I'm just like one of the few people here today that doesn't care. I'm like, congratulations, Eva. You know, that would be much cooler if you weren't having a hissy fit about not having a reception dress. Okay.
Yeah. I'm known for a few things. My hair and being a total asshole about my wedding.
Also, are you really known for your hair? Are you really? Like, you're a model. Like, why are we, like, is this, like, models change their hair. That's sort of a thing that happens. Like, this is not like a signature of you. I feel like it's a signature of being a model.
Yeah. And also, what are the other things that she's talking about? When she's like, I've been known for a few things. I mean, we know America's Next Top Model. What else?
Yes. She was in a relationship with the guy who wrote that song, Deuces, Kevin McCall.
Oh.
She changed her name from Pigford to Marcel.
Oh.
She dated, rumors of her with Missy Elliott, which she didn't totally deny. So basically, like,
I'm glad I asked. I was hoping it was going to be like, you know, she's known for her tutorials on Photoshop on YouTube. Or
I remember her cameo appearance on Kevin Hill, the one season drama on UPN starring Taye Diggs and a future Joan from Mad Men, Christina Hendricks. It was a great show that never really caught on because it was on UPN, but it was a great show. And Eva Marcel did make a cameo on that. And I do remember that.
Wow. I'm glad I asked.
That was right there.
You're a Mandelkerpedia.
I guess I'm really up in Eva's business more than I would like to be, to be honest. I'm like, why do I have to know that? And yet I can't remember what's happening in current events. I'm like, well, the Iranian deal, I don't know anything about. But Eva was on Kevin Hill once in 2008.
I don't know what everybody's complaining about. Obama's a great president.
Anyway,
they change life for facts of life. I can't seem to find it.
Where? Why? Why have not? Have I not been able to watch Double Trouble recently? Why? So, that was for all the Double Trouble fans out there. All of you. So, Anyway, Tanya shows up. She's like, hi!
Tanya was full on 5,000% Tanya in this episode. She's like, hi, girls! Hi! 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 At one point, they showed Tanya drinking a drink, and she went like this. Like, what is in that drink? My God.
I feel like Tanya still watches America's Funniest Home Videos. I feel like she's like, oh, this show is great. It hasn't been as good as since when Bob Saget was hosting, but let me tell you something. The content is still great.
I love all of them. They all, their biggest concern is, what does Nene's hair really look like, and why would she do this to herself?
Yeah.
And Candy's like, yeah, the last time I saw Nene wear her real hair was when Claudia made fun of her real hair, which is so true, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, Tanya's in there. She's being ridiculous. She's like, oh, Candy, your hair is so beautiful. Oh, I'm going to seduce you. And then she tries to do some weird seductive dance on her. I mean, between her and Cynthia this episode, it has really like not been a strong seductive game. Okay?
Yeah, it hasn't like, been. Yeah, because Nene,
like,
yeah. She's like, I will not cast your bad dancing because you're not famous yet, okay? But Cynthia's in. Yeah, that was some sad, awkward dancing. And then she wouldn't stop. She just kept doing it, which is so Tanya.
So Shamari and her friends arrive, which was fun. It's sort of gotten to the point in the season where that when Shamari arrives, I sort of get happy because Shamari doesn't really add much, but she does what we all want to be doing, which is just like eating and getting drunk, you know?
Well, she definitely, what was I going to say? Oh, I'm so sorry. She definitely added a lot to this episode.
That was a very Shamari moment.
Yeah, I did.
That's Shamari. Wait, what was I going to say?
I literally, my brain was like, doo-doo, doo-doo.
Shamari.
Is like looking for nickels on the beach. Like,
doo-doo. Nene finally comes downstairs. She's like, here's my hair. And I'm like, I feel like it's still a wig. And then it made me have a conspiracy theory, which is she had this whole bi-wig party to be like, look, it's my hair. To be like, look, this is my hair. I think she's trying to prove that she has hair by putting on a wig that's like...
It's like a real hair.
But it doesn't look like a hair. It looked like a medieval, like, it almost looked like Adam, the guy who turns into He-Man, you know, it almost had that, like, it looked like if she put on like some sort of like green, like garb, she could be with Robin Hood or something like that. It just sort of had that like sort of circular peasant medieval.
Yeah, peasant. Yeah, it was very like corn straw, like it was bad. I don't know. I just think if you're going to have a real hair, I don't think you should host a real hair party. Because, you know, like her, you know, she did it last minute where she's like, that's my real hair, shit. And then she got it like re-bleached or whatever. And I was like, you're doing this to yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like if it's like, because the thing is, it's like at one point she's like bending over and there was like this much space. People on TV party can see this much space between like the hair and her scalp. It was like, psh. It like, I don't know. I just feel like, listen, just rock the wig. Just like, I don't even care that that was your wig, but don't have a bi wig party and then you wear a wig to try to con people into thinking that this is your hair. I don't know.
I like how Candy put it. She's like, I guess this is what I would expect. The comb forward. She's like, So then Nene gets kind of perturbed because Shamari shows up with two guests.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, maybe one can carry her to her car and the other one can drive her home because, you know, she's going to drink. So she tells everybody about Greg, and Eva gets some shade in for Nene. She's like, she is so strong. I mean, if that had happened to my husband, I think I would have crumbled and been at the hospital.
I didn't even pick that up.
Instead of having a fucking party right
now.
Yeah,
a bi-week party. Yeah, exactly. So then Cynthia arrives. She's got a little... like little buns in the back of her hair, and they're all mad at her because they think that she's cheating, and she was sort of cheating because she had scrunchies back there to increase the volume, but it was still her hair. So that was
and
that.
And then Yavanna. Yikes.
Yavanna.
So Yavanna is like looking for someone to scream at. So she's like, hi. And Tanya's like, Yavanna! I'm at the couple's dinner!
She's like, Yavanna! Yeah, that's like Tanya's version of Dorinda. Giovanna! Giovanna! Because she kept on calling her Giovanna instead of Yovanna.
And Yovana got so mad. She's like, it's Yovana. And then Tanya's like, oh, sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm genuinely sorry. I'm sorry. I'm Canadian, so I really mean it when I say I'm sorry.
So Portia and Marlo are late, which Nini really cares when other people are late. That was another question. I'll watch what happens. Someone was like, Nini, hypocrite. Of course, they were much nicer. They're like, I'm so sorry about your husband. Hypocrite. But yeah. They were like, why are you allowed to be late? And she's like, excuse me, I'm 30 minutes late. They're 4 hours late. That's a difference. Which
that, I think that's actually fair. I mean, I don't think being 30 minutes late is good either, but Portia and Marlo showed up like 3 hours plus late. That's actually not cool at all.
Yeah, they should have cut to Aya on the bus.
Yeah, that's what I was. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, that's definitely not cool, especially when you've gone through all the lengths to have like a salad prepared for your guests, I guess.
Yeah.
so they're all.
Aya wrapped a fruit platter.
Yeah, and a fruit platter. So Tanya, so they're all predicting, well, what are their excuses going to be? And Tanya's like, well, you know, with Portia, she's going to be like, oh, I'm pregnant. And then Nini just starts going off. She's like, you know what? Like, there are people out there who don't have any money, and she's got all the helpers, and there are women out there on the bus stop who are making it, which I actually completely agree with. Like, I can't stand when people are like, oh, I'm sorry, pregnancy. Although, well, I mean, like, I understand pregnancy because it's like a physical thing. But like when it's like a Porsche thing where you're 3 hours late because of it, it's like, you can't just rely on saying you're pregnant, you know?
I mean, Nini's just mad to be mad, you know? And I know that Nini was being very extra because she's upset and all of that. But I'm sorry. In real life, I get that you're upset, but you still don't get to scream and yell at everybody all the time, okay? That excuse wears really thin with me. And maybe it's because I've watched a Law & Order and everybody's crimes are always excused by their fucking childhood or their sad afternoon or their bad lunch, okay? But you do the crime, do the time, okay? You're being rude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Law & Order. So,
yeah. Yeah. So anyway, but Nini's basically starting to have a breakdown now because her like anger towards Portia is a little outsized versus what it probably should be. So she's losing it. And meanwhile, this is where Tanya calls Giovanna for like the umpteenth time. And Giovanna's like, it's Giovanna. And Giovanna's like,
that bitch.
Yeah, Giovanna. That bitch. She's like, you know what? And I want to say to everyone, I apologize for my behavior last time, but I'm not sorry about the things I said. I felt it was just shady for you to say that you never met me, Eva. And Eva's like, are we really doing this again? She's like, yeah. I mean, you don't remember the BBC crew? You don't remember the BBC crew? You know, Eva was like, the BBC came to our college? Were they recording something? What? Was there a special?
She's like, Downton Abbey. I love that show. She's like, it stands for the big booty clit.
She's like,
and Nini's like, what?
That stood for, what was that? What was that? Damn it! What was that summer house drink that they called BBC's?
Big. It's not Big Black Cock because that's what that's what we always Pornhub. Damn it!
People from TV Party. What was the BBC drink?
Bacardi. I don't know. Who cares?
It was like,
fuck that show. Until tonight, when it comes back, and we'll be totally in. So she's like, show us your big booty clit then. So Giovanna stands up and starts butt dancing. And Candy goes, what does that tat say? And then Eva goes, does that say dime piece? And she's like, yeah, it says dime piece. And then Eva just tells us in her diary room, she's like, trust me, dime piece, I did not know you.
Yeah. So so now finally it's like 6:20 p.m. and Portia arrives and she's going through things. She's like, without my wig, I feel vulnerable. Sorry, I like choked on my Portia impersonation. I just lost all the air in my lungs just by simply doing Portia's voice.
She looks like she's going to give like a tour guide. Like those khaki, like a Boy Scout uniform or something she's wearing.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, the wind could reveal my bald spots or whatever. And Nini's like, you decided to join us. And she tries not to kiss her, but Portia just kind of laughs it off.
Yeah.
And flings her ring around. Or wrong hand. Flings her ring. I don't even know where the ring goes.
She flaps her hand so everyone sees her engagement ring, which is in the shape of like a little hot dog, you know. So everyone's very excited.
Everyone's like, oh my god, I got relish in my eye, but wow, that's a nice pig in a blanket you've got on your finger. It's just dough wrapped around your finger.
I like that she puts condiments on her ring.
Never know.
She's ripped. Yeah, at any time.
Oh, so now Nene's still mad because Marla's not there.
Yeah.
And so she starts telling everybody what's going on. That Nene, I guess, Greg told Marla to call, so she did. But Nene was like, I'm very busy. I was going to go shopping at the store. So I wouldn't let Nene. Okay, so Marla comes all the way to Nene's house, and Nene won't let her through the gate. She just says,
yeah,
you can't come in. I'm going shopping.
Which is also, like, crazy. I don't know. I feel like a lot of times people travel very far for Nene, and then this often happens. I don't know why, but that's the vibe I get.
Yes. And Nene's point is that she's, you know, going through this horrible process, and if she doesn't want to see you, that should be your answer. Which I don't know that she's necessarily wrong, but I don't know. If someone drove all the way there to check on me, I think I'd be like, thank you so much for coming. I really want to be alone right now. You know, not just like, yeah, get the fuck away from my gate.
Also, don't make us sit through 10 episodes of you saying, I'm strong, but who's going to hold me up? Who's going to hold me up? Oh, where's the support for me? Where do I get the support? What about me? It's like, don't make us listen to that for 10 episodes and start to feel empathy for you. And then your friend literally drives across the city to be there for you. And you're like, no, bye.
Yeah.
Like, don't do that. You accept that support.
Yeah. Take it, Nene.
Yeah.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
From Marvel Studios.
So you're a race of noble warriors?
Heroes. Noble warrior heroes.
Oh, oh.
On March 8th.
So how do you expect us to put the fate of the universe in the hands of one person?
I don't think you have a choice.
Marvel Studios. Captain Marvel.
Is Fury your real name? What does your mom call you?
Just Fury.
In cinemas March 8th. Click on the ad to see more.
So then Marlo comes in. She's like, oh, someone stole my golden goose. And she's like, welcome, Baldy.
Yeah, she's like, you don't come 3 hours late. You ain't Purple Rain, which I like. Didn't really make sense just because Marlo was wearing purple. It's like, you ain't Purple Rain. Yeah. You ain't Grimace.
Yeah, just mentioning purple giant things. Belt. GG, her giant grimace belt.
Yeah.
And so, Marlo's like, are you finished, bitch? Because I had a hair appointment and my sister needed me, so I left a hair appointment and then came all the way to a gate which I wasn't let into, and then I had to do standby at the hair place, and everyone's like, oh my god, standby.
Porsche had to do standby too. So Nene at one point starts getting mad. She's like, I'm talking edges, which then caused Porsche to be like, wow, like, forget the wig. It's like, forget like buy wig. It's like buy to your own scalp. Like, buy scalp. She made me laugh.
Oh, God. So then Nene just keeps going and getting worse. She's like, if you have a friend in pain, how come you come to them yelling and fussing? Who does that? Purple Rain does. You can keep saying Purple Rain, but it doesn't make it make any more sense, okay?
Yeah.
Purple Rain was a very lovely film.
And song.
Yes.
And the thing is that just because she's wearing purple, like, it doesn't really make sense, Purple Rain, just saying it over and over again.
Yeah. So Marlo is like, you want to hear wait,
by the way,
in?
I just want... We are probably missing a huge significance for her saying Purple Rain. We're like, why is she saying Purple Rain so much? That doesn't even make sense. Watch, we're the idiots here.
Probably, as usual. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
We'll see in the comment wars. So Marlo reads the text up from Greg. She reads the text that Greg sent her, which is, Greg's like, oh my god, my wife, go help my wife. Help my wife. Jesus, help my wife. And keeps texting and texting. So, of course, she goes. And she's like, look, like, the world we're in now, this depression. I mean, people are just committing suicide left and right. Okay? So, I'm freaking out. And Nene's like, support me. Don't fight with me. And Marlo's like, you're not the only one hurting. I had to do standby at the hair place.
Listen, Marlo drove in traffic for an hour. And I don't know. I think that Nene needs to respect that, because that's a pain in the ass.
Yeah. So then Marlo, of course, being Marlo, can't just say, okay, you're freaking out and sobbing now, so I'm just going to say sorry. Which even with Nene, sometimes you have to do. But she keeps trying to argue with her, and Nene's like sobbing. And she's like, I'm sorry for caring so much and running here and getting my hair done on standby. And why would you have to talk about this with them? I'm like, don't you need somebody on your side right now, Marlo? Calm down.
Exactly. Exactly. And everyone's meanwhile is doing that thing where they're all like clutching Nene's shoulders. They're all like jockeying for position around her shoulders, like holding her just like this, like bracketing her. And Nene's just like crumbling over, her like little cap is starting to like fall forward, etc. Marlo's threatening to leave, you know. So and so then Marlo's racing to the door, and Portia's like, "Hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, don't leave, don't leave." And it was a whole thing. It's of this like, it's like one of these things where they're like angry, but they're also like vulnerable and like crying and angry and all that stuff together.
Yeah. So Cynthia makes her go back in, basically.
Yeah.
And then she's, you know, they hug, and Marlo's like, I understand, and I love you. And he's like, I'm so sorry, I love you. And Candy's like, now, let's get those lashes back on.
Yeah. And meanwhile, during all this, Shamari's just sitting at the edge of the table, just getting drunk. She's just like, mm-hmm. She's just drinking. She doesn't care. She's like, I don't know these bitches. They don't like me. I don't like them. I'm just going to get drunk here with my friends.
And then this is later. Okay, so then Nene's like, I'm going to go upstairs now. So she goes up. Nene is so the fucking rudest, okay? At this point, you can understand, like, she's going to go fix her face and whatever and come back down to, like, compose herself. But she doesn't. She just goes upstairs for the rest of the night. She's like, see ya. She has, like, a separate living room up there and just goes, like, to her throne or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like 7:23 p.m. Marlo and Cynthia go upstairs to be with Nene and to tend to her, etc. And so meanwhile, downstairs, everyone's just sitting at the table still. They're just sitting there, and Shamari is wasted. And she is wasted, and she is like basically trying to have sex with Eva. She is like every 2 seconds, she's like nuzzling her face into like Eva's tit. She's basically like giving her like these like fuck like yeah. Yeah. You're hot. You're real hot.
And then she pulls like, her leg.
It's like
right
Shamari
up.
Too.
Yeah. I know she's eating Seymour. She's like attacking the town in the flower shop. And she's calling herself Hokanda.
Yeah.
So, by the way, just side note, I'm so sorry, Ivana. You totally got fucked over again. Sorry. Sorry about your second audition tanking.
I know. Ivana was like ready to make a splash, and instead Nene stole her thunder. And then Shamari, of all people, Shamari stole Yovana's thunder. That's sad.
Well, it's so weird because Shamari is like so boring, but then so amazing. And not only because she's drunk, but her diary room sessions are so funny. I like really like her, but then I'm like, oh, God, I have to watch her and Ronnie again. But then I really like her again. Very confused.
Yeah, exactly. And at one point, Shamari just starts slapping Eva's vagina. She just starts going, like right on it, and Eva's like, what is going on? Like, she's trying to laugh it off, but she's like,
So then Shamari leaves. Like, they put up one of those highlight things on her where it's like a little spotlight so you could see her leaving the room.
She does the I'm about to throw up face walk to the bathroom, you know? Like, there's a certain thing that people do, and I don't want to be sexist, but I feel like my female friends do it the most. They do this, like, very close-lipped half-smile, which, for people watching on camera, it looks like this.
Yeah.
It's almost like a Mona Lisa smile. It's like I'm totally fine. That's why I'm smiling, but I'm not opening my lips because it's not that I'm about to throw up, but I just want to keep my lips closed right now. It's a personal preference right now. Mona Lisa smile.
Yeah, Mona Lisa probably barfed all over.
Mona Lisa was wasted during
that. Who made that? Da Vinci?
Yeah.
Yeah. She barfed all over Da Vinci when that was done. That's why she looked
like that. Da Vinci was like, my shoes.
That's what the Da Vinci Code is. At the end, it's just, at the end, it just says, my shoes.
My shoes.
Like, damn it.
He's like, I did not want to shame Mona, but I thought for those who want to put in the effort, I will shame her. I will tell you what really happened with Mona Lisa, that bitch.
So we go to the bat. Portia follows to the bathroom. Then Eva follows to the bathroom. And Shamari's just barfing. She's just barfing. And then she gets Eva. She throws up all over Eva's outfit and her shoes. And then Portia starts wanting to barf because they're barfing. So she leaves. Then Eva starts barfing, watching her barf. And Cynthia's like, I think this bi-wig party is officially over, child.
Yeah, I think so. Meanwhile, one of my favorite moments of this like barf montage was Tanya. At one point, Tanya was in the bathroom with Shamari and the Decatur friends. And Shamari goes, I love Decatur girls. I mean, Decatur girls are always going to be there for you, right? Decatur forever.
Big buck like, clip.
I mean, Tanya, what are you talking about? What are you talking about right now?
Tanya's just so excited to be there. Only Tanya could be in the bathroom with people barfing all over their place. Like, isn't this fun, girls?
It's nice to be included sometimes. Barf on me. You can throw up on my shoes. Out of mind.
So then Nini's still upstairs, of course, and Eva comes up there and tells her that Shamar is barfing everywhere. And Nini's like, I'm a germaphobe. What bathroom? She's like, the one with the chandelier in it. She's like, oh my God. And Eva's like, she barfed on me. Okay. Why are you worried about the bathroom? I'm the one who got barfed on. She's like, well, if she barfed on you, that means she barfed on the floor too. It must have gotten everywhere.
I'm like, it's a bathroom. It's like built for that. Like, the worst things in the world happen in the bathroom. It's the one place where it's okay for bodily fluids. I mean, obviously, they're supposed to be in the toilet. But, like, it's a bathroom. It's meant for that. But I did think it was hilarious that when Nini was like, this poor bathroom has been through so much. And we saw clips of last year and the cockroach scandal, etc. And she's like, if this bathroom could talk, it would say, move me upstairs. Move me upstairs. Which I love, like, the simple request of the bathroom just to go upstairs. Like, not to be like, let me out, let me free, let me roam the countryside. It's like, no, just take me upstairs.
Yeah. So we've got everybody, we've got one contingent barfing.
Everyone sort of filters in. Yeah.
And Nini's still not coming downstairs, and it's, like, hours later. So they all start going upstairs, and Candy's like, thanks a lot for just leaving us down there. I'm out of here. And she's like, I've been here since 3. I've been here for 6 hours, okay? She goes, actually, can I see your closet while I'm up here? Because you're always talking about your closet. And Nini's like, no, don't go in there.
Do not but Candy's like, whatever, closet. I'm going. Because Marla's like, no, Candy, go in there. Go in there, Candy. It's great. Go in there. So Candy goes in there. And then Portia wants to go, which is great because Portia's dressed like she's, you know, like she almost looks like she's ready to go on safari.
Yeah,
so safari. It's like. The wild animal patterns in there, it's like perfect. It's like, ooh, you know? So Candy and Portia
She's
go
like
in there.
She's like harpooning a caftan.
It was very reminiscent of in Stranger Things when Winona Ryder goes into the Upside Down through that like portal and she's got like the rope, you know? that's what it was like going into the closet.
They're like pulling. They're like, you're getting too far. You're going too far.
They find that girl in there.
Yeah, that poor girl. It's always that girl who gets killed.
I forgot her name. Back, remember
Me
when
too.
Stranger
it's
Things
always
was a
that
thing.
Girl that we forget the name of too. We're just as bad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. So Kim A online says Poltergeist 2. I did think of Poltergeist as well, but I felt like the tendrils and the goopiness of the Upside Down was more appropriate for Nini's closet.
So then Portia goes in there with Candy, like you said. So then they're all just like going into the closet and Nini starts having a fit. Okay.
Yeah. And she's starting to get mad. She's doing that thing like, I'm getting mad now. And the moment where she really snaps is when the cameraman goes in and starts going in there. Because, you know, she was like, I don't like people going through my closet. Like, it's not camera ready. Like, she wants it to look.
Right.
Like, look a certain way. So that way, like. People aren't like, well, look at Lisa Vanderpump's closet and look at Nini's, you know? So as soon as the camera starts going in there, she's like, this is not going to be on TV. This, you will not do this to me. And she just goes and tears that guy's t-shirt off.
Yeah, she rips his shirt off and she's like, no! And then starts charging in there. And then they show all their little booty things that they have to wear in the house, like doctors, you know?
Yeah.
Which is a very dangerous job.
Yeah.
And Portia's like, take off my mic. I want to go home. I'm scared.
I'm scared. I don't want to be here no more. I'm scared, Mr. Mushnick. I'm scared.
I mean, she actually might actually be in the Upside Down at this point. She actually, she's really there. She found the, what's it called? Man, I forgot all my Stranger Things references. It's like, it's sad. There was a period of time when we could just like, you know, name them so quickly.
Well,
what was that like the...
Not me. I mean, I watched it, but I was like, this is boring and stupid. I don't care what anybody says. But I watched
it while I was packing up
Crappin's merch.
Yeah, I like the first season. And the second season, I watched like 3 episodes. There were like rotting pumpkins and then like a little slimy creature. And I was like, you know what? Let's just keep this with season 1, okay? So speaking of slimy creatures, Why don't we transition over to Top Chef, shall we?
Well, let's do it.
Let's do it. So we're at the Top Chef finale, and this is the first episode, and we're in Macau. And so all the chefs start arriving at this like very fancy at the MGM something or another in Macau, and it's like really there's like this like travertine and marble and everything and like these tall atriums. It's like glamorous. It's like Macau, and they're like boom 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 boom, and then like Michelle walks through the front door. She's like, wow, cool.
Like she's walking the Hollywood Walk of Fame, you know, just like tourist clothes. She's like,
wow.
It's like,
this wow. is amazing. Wow.
This is cool. Wow. So every chef that arrives of the finalists, they get like a whoosh moment. And so like Adrian arrives and Kelsey arrives. My favorite whoosh was there's like an elevator door that's like shiny elevator door, and just like it like whooshes up. It's like whoosh. And then you just see Sarah standing there like, ha. Huh?
Sing.
Sarah's like, ha. I'm here.
Yeah,
what do you want?
It. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, what's the big deal?
Yeah.
She's slow Bethany now. What's the matter? What's going on?
Yeah. I'm really glad to be in China. Wow, it's great. What was that glass on this? Was this a Bellagio?
Wow. I could have gone to Vegas. Yeah. All right. But I guess we do this. Fine. Shit. All right. Fine.
Okay. And I like Kelsey. You know, Kelsey makes me crazy, and I don't know why, because she seems like decently talented, and she doesn't seem mean or whatever, and she gives like I don't know why I don't like her, but I don't. And I think the reason is because of her fake ass. She's always trying to make these fake ass stories about everything, and right now is her victim story, where everybody's like, I grew up poor and I didn't have parents and I was raised by a bus driver, you know, whatever. So Kelsey's just like, growing up in Alabama, I don't get taken seriously. I was like, get in line, Kelsey. Okay, get a sadder story or don't rely on it. Hey, getting on my nerves, Kelsey.
You're just still mad when she said, I'm the only one here who had a baby on purpose.
I am. It's like real life. I get mad at one thing and I hold on to forever.
Which I respect, because I'm still mad at Eddie, even though he's not even in the competition anymore. I'm still like, that fucker took up everyone's budget.
Yeah.
And I will never get over it. And I'm still mad. I'm still mad this episode when he comes back.
Yeah. And if you were so insecure about growing up in Alabama, you wouldn't be showing up in Daisy Duke's short cutoffs with like a big flowery Laura Ashley shirt tied at the waist. Okay. Give me a break.
Roll Tide, more like Roll Snide. So it's the next morning, and Graham Elliott shows up. He's like, hey guys, I'm here. They finally let me do a segment on my own, which is really exciting. So come with me. We're going to go to the market. So they walk through the market, and it's like, I really enjoyed it. It was just, you know, because I like watching this sort of stuff where they like look at all the food and all the crazy like shellfish and squirting clams, and they see an old lady chopping an eel's head off. I was like, ooh, you know, I liked all that.
This is so, the one episode of the year that the judges get to feel what it's like for poor Ted over on Chopped, or all the judges who have to work on Chopped, like eating all that disgusting stuff. Sorry to be ignorant, but I don't want your slimy finger snails, okay? They showed this little thing of snails, like, without their shells, just doing that. What are they called? Razor? Aren't they, it's a razor
clam? They're a razor clam. Like, oh. They cut to that so many times. Like, every two minutes, they'd be like, here in Macau, and then they just showed this like this thing, this like, speaking of the upside down, it was this like squirmy thing. I will say this though, I don't remember where it was, but I did have razor clams once and they were absolutely delicious. So
I mean,
just have faith in the razor clam, please.
Well, especially when there's all that stuff and then they're like, I don't know how to cook with this, but I'm gonna try. I'm like, this is not the, like, street snails. That's not really where you want to like be trying stuff out for the first time, you know. I feel bad for the judges.
I know. So
and
they
I remember
around,
they're like super rich people like Padma sitting in a bathtub of pizza slices. And I stopped feeling bad for them.
So speaking of which, so after they go through this market, they then go upstairs to like this rooftop, and that's where Padma's standing, and she's like, hi chefs, we're not in the Bronx anymore, Eric. We're in what I like to call the Gail Simmons of Macau. Take a look around. Creepy crawly creatures everywhere.
Oh look, it's eating itself. Hi chefs, one of you will win $125,000 furnished by San Pellegrino. I mean, I still feel so bad for them also, that this is like the cheapest prize on TV, okay?
I know. That's
so
true.
Sad. And they've upped it too, 25,000. Remember when it was 100,000? It's like, just give them like a gift certificate to Bed Bath & Beyond and call it a day, guys. Jeez.
She's like, you guys get a gift certificate to Linens and Things, which is out of business. Enjoy. So she's like, you'll each have 200 Macanese Pataca, which is about $25. Not a type of candy, Gail.
So they have to pick knives and see who gets what, whatever gross thing that they get. And so, of course, Sarah gets first, and she, of course, picks the scallops, thinking they're going to be the easiest. And that, I want Sarah to win, kind of. Like, I like Sarah. I like Sarah's, like, surly attitude. I like that she hasn't beat the shit out of anybody yet, which Sarah looks like she's going to beat the shit out of somebody every 5 minutes, and she doesn't.
Yeah.
Like, I like her, and I like that she got, like, really depressed and moved home to live in her mom's basement and open a McDonald's or whatever her story is. Like, I'm into it. I want her to win. But it's stuff like this that makes me not want her to win. Like, why are you going to pick the easiest thing? You know, you're in the semifinals. Yeah. Make an effort, Sarah.
Also, scallops are low-key the ultimate villain on Top Chef. Like, scallops are always a problem. Always.
And in our lives, for both of us. We're both like, scallops, how pedestrian.
Mm. I'd love a scallop. Wait, no. Don't project your scallop.
We had a scallops being pedestrian one time discussion on this show.
Did we?
Yes, sir. And you were.
Well, maybe it's because it was like
the pedestrian bus.
Well, hold on, sir. Maybe it was because it was pedestrian compared to something else. But as in general, I am very pro scallop. But I guess I'm anti scallop on this show because scallops usually lead to bad things. I mean, we'll never forget the frozen scallop situation. We'll never forget Jamie when Fabio said it's called Top Chef, not Top Scallop.
Yeah, because she did scallops for every single challenge.
So Sarah's proud of herself because she learned like one word in Chinese or in Cantonese. So she's like, I learned how to say thank you. I'm like, congratulations. You like signed up for Duolingo for 20 minutes.
Yeah, and how to curse. She knows how to say thank you and fuck you. And I can't tell what she's saying in the market, but you know, no one looks thrilled.
Yeah, no one is thrilled. They're like, oh God, there's that woman from the elevator we saw the other day.
Yeah, it's not the woman who screamed fuck you when I gave her a pound of fish.
Is that woman who keeps asking for Kentucky Fried Chicken? We don't have it here, okay? So they're all just like going through, tasting food, picking out stuff. And Sarah, so she has the scallops, and when they get upstairs again to start cooking, was there anything you wanted to say about the market? Or
I was scrolling through and I got to my Sarah note. It says, I studied Cantonese before I came here, so I learned, fuck you, you fucking burglar, I'm calling immigration.
You fucking burglar.
Oh, me.
Yeah, so, yeah, basically they get upstairs, and guess what? The scallop, the easy scallop, turns out to be a hard scallop, because it's a hard scallop. The scallop is too firm. She's like, Sarah's like, can I cook a scallop this firm? I'm a little concerned. Yeah. I'm a lot concerned.
Yeah.
I was like, that's such a Top Chef quote.
Yeah, and then Kelsey, of course, she's like, well, I need the scallops to get picked, because scallops. But we're in Macau, so I want to do, you know, something different. So I chose razorfish or whatever she chose.
She chose the gum fish.
Oh, whatever. And I'm like, you also didn't get first choice, Kelsey. Like, stop acting like you're fucking Rocky over there for choosing it. So you chose the third best thing instead of the first best. Fucking Kelsey. So then she's also one of those people in the story who's like, you're my best friend, because this lady kind of understood her two words of English. Okay, yeah. So firm scallops, Ronnie. Firm scallops. Concentrate.
Firm scallops. I mean, that was so.
Oh, then like the grossest thing to happen in Macau, a Brian Mulcahy commercial. I cannot with him. Brown butter on chicken.
I didn't even see that. Sugar, I'm glad I passed forward. Someone needs to cancel Brian Mulcahy. Okay,
cancel
let's
him.
Like. I feel like it's enough. He had his moment like 12 years ago. We don't need to see any more Brian Mulcahy. Okay, his last name is Mulcahy. I mean, literally.
Yeah, get out of here. Get out of here till you change your name, Mulcahy.
Yeah. So now it's time for judging. So Michelle serves up some cuttlefish noodles. There's just like a cuttlefish and cook with them, and they curled up or whatever, and they like them. It's like Padma and Graham are the judges. Yeah. So there's that. And then Eric serves up these snails in like a black pepper sauce of some sort. And they are apparently like toothsome. And Pamela's like, it's a cross between chewy and rubbery. Graham, do you want to take this one? You want to do it this time?
Gail on an elliptical. There, I said it.
You snooze, you lose, Graham. Or in the case of Gail, you snooze and you snooze some more. Am I right, everyone? Am I right?
Fungadong, Gail.
I mean, what does she have to lose?
Okay, I'm sorry. Snail and black pepper. Chewy, not chewy. So then Adrian, who does her testimonial things must have been filmed after she already lost, because Adrian's new thing today is, you know, I'm here in China thinking how I really want to start a family and just stay home. I'm like, what? Where does this come from?
Yeah. Her dream is to move to Central Connecticut. It's like, can we?
And drop babies on a dairy farm. I'm like, wait a second. This is an odd dream to suddenly get in China, Adrian.
She's like, my dream is to have close proximity to Hartford.
Yeah.
I want to be near the insurance capital of the world.
Yeah, I just had the widest dream of all time.
Have you ever been down Route 84? It's fantastic. I want to move there.
So Sarah has done, Adrian did razor clams and watermelon ceviche, which is watermelon chopped up, by the way, in case anybody doesn't know what watermelon ceviche is. Wow.
Yeah. Sarah, she does fresh scallops with Celtis or something. I wrote down Celtis. I don't know if that was a typo.
That's what I wrote. I wrote down Celtis too. It was important enough that we both wrote it down.
Yeah. And rose apple, slices of rose apple.
Yeah.
And then Kelsey did a gum fish with a sweet and sour sauce, which actually to me, that looked delicious. It looked so good. I was like, I would have that gum fish. I've never had gum fish, but I'm willing to try it.
Yeah, gross.
In case anyone wanted to know my thoughts on gumfish.
In case anyone wanted to know, I'm still as ignorant as ever, and it looks gross to me, okay?
Uh-huh.
So Graham is like, whoa, Adrian. Whoa. He's like, Adrian, you had a delicious clam. I mean, your ceviche, that was really approachable. Which is a nice way of saying, pussy! Your ceviche is a pussy!
Approachable, sort of like Gail at a buffet. Am I right, everyone? Am I right? Bring any platter up to her, she'll take it all.
Oh, Padma's like, it was a collection of ingredients that needed more of your stamp, your odd giant earlobe stamp.
Sarah, what does your stamp look like? Is it like a bucket of KFC? Seems about right.
So then Graham, because he's got white glasses and he's thinner now, is like, really like street. So he's like, the winner embraced the challenge and really threw down some sick flavors. I was like, okay, Graham. Okay, go back to your... Go home, Graham.
Okay. So the winner was Michelle. She's like, yay. And then Padma goes, Michelle, gong hei fat choy. Michelle's like, huh? Did I say fat choy? I meant gong hei fat gale. It means... congratulations and be prosperous. It also happens to be a commonly used phrase during a very special time of year.
New Year's?
Yeah, Adrian's like, New Year's?
That wasn't a question, but thank you, earlobes.
Yes, that's right. Bingo. And don't interrupt me again, Eddie Redmayne.
I love that we both got the same Padma. I was like, Padma's so mad that this girl interrupted her.
Padma was like, ready to be like, she's like, here, I'm going to be Padma, you be Adrian. This is a phrase that's commonly used at a special time of year. Oh, you're supposed to cut me off by saying Chinese.
Oh, I'm watching you like you're a TV. I'm like...
Did you mean to forget your cue, Ronnie? I also liked when, after Padma said that thing, Michelle was like, oh, thank you. That's very lovely. Thank you. Right?
So then the guest judge is something you
guest Jowett,
Jowett, you everybody, Jowett, don't forget to tell a personal story to make this deeply personal for the viewers at home. So he's like, hi everybody. My family comes together on New Year's and there's only one thing you do when you get to dinner with my family. You eat. And I was like, you know what? If you don't have a fucking personal story, don't make one. Every family eats at dinner.
Yeah, I'm about to say, what else would you be doing at dinner? Yeah, a puppet show? Like, what is it?
You don't even have the excuse of going through the whole season, so now you're left with these stupid stories like Kelsey. Kelsey's like, I like riding bikes. I like riding bikes with my sister, who got sick one time, which is why I made cuttlefish. It's like...
So the challenge is to cater a party for Chinese New Year's at the MGM Macau, and it's gonna be for like 200 guests, etc. And of course, there's Padma goes, I'm gonna give you a little help. Oh, help, little gals.
And so I wrote decapitated. Why would I write that? The decapitated chefs come on. Guys,
wow, things eliminated. Just got grim.
What the hell? I'm just like
last chance kitchen. It's truly your last chance, because then Tom will chop off your head if you fail. Isn't that hilarious? Ha 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 ha. And now we call them the help.
Which was a very good movie. So they have to pick knives. Oh no! Everybody, all the decapitated chefs are holding
the decapitated chefs trays holding their own
ingredients.
Heads.
Yeah. Would you rather cook with Justin the Hipster's head or Napoleon Dynamite's head?
Yeah. So it's Brandon, who's the chocolate factory dude, tall guy, who's I think his name is Brian. Justin, who was eliminated last week, Eddie, who is the one that I hate, and David, who is the one who's like a kiss ass to Tom Colicchio, etc. Yeah. And they all have trays, and the trays each have three ingredients and various like happiness or prosperity, whatever, on them.
Yeah, so they all start picking their people, and
Michelle chooses David because he's Portuguese and there's Portuguese influence in Macau. And Eddie, meanwhile, I don't know if you noticed this, Eddie was holding up his tray. He's like, ugh. Like, I thought he was going to faint in front of everyone. he was like not in a good state. I was like, someone just please pick him so that way he can sit down.
Yeah, he was stressing this whole time. Every time something good happens to Eddie and he's like, like at one point he was tasting something and they're like, is that good? And he's like, it's like, geez, vote of confidence from Eddie, everybody.
So Adrian, she chooses Brian, and Padma's such a bitch. She goes, Adrian, did you choose Brian for Brian or for the ingredients he's holding? Because we all know he's terrible.
Napoleon Dynamite, am I right?
It's like a tall gale, but with worse patterns, if you can believe it.
And Adrian's like, well, if only one person gets ginger, I want it to be me, the person who's about to start a family in Connecticut. And you could just see Kelsey being like, ginger, what an easy choice. I'm going to choose something difficult, like cuttlefish. So yeah.
Sarah takes Eddie, Kelsey takes Brandon, and Eric takes Justin. And then after everyone's picked, Padma goes, and because this is the year of the pig, it's only right that you use pig as your main protein. Okay, who wants to make a gale joke? Anyone? Eddie? You want to do it, Eddie?
The winner of the gale joke will make $125,000 furnished by San Pigagrino. Okay? Funny that it's the year of the pig when she's getting a year off, isn't it, everybody? Sorry, but nobody jumped in.
I didn't know we gave zodiac signs to people with bad patterns and eating disorders. And by disorders, I mean too much. There, I said it, finally.
So, so they all have to use pig. So, Eric.
You're so awful. You're so awful. We love Gail Simmons. We love Gail Simmons. We just pretend that Padma hates her.
Yeah. So, Eric is like, well, when I think about curry, I think of curry being a comfort food. And my family likes curry. Because I think of togetherness, being with curry, being with my family. I'm like, okay, enough of the personal stories. Just stop.
I know. Curry, like.
God. My family likes to be together. Well, you win, okay?
Congratulations. Curry is the thing that binds us all together. Although I do love curry, and I had some the other night. So that's my personal story, everyone. Kelsey, meanwhile, starts talking about, like, well, in the South, we do New Year's with black-eyed peas and cornbread, whatever, blah, 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 blah.
Pork belly on top. And then Adrian, look. I'm not a huge Adrian fan, but I'm not a huge Adrian hater either. She's kind of like she's been on the show, like very middle of the road.
Yeah.
But this made me root against her when she's like, I want it. She's like, Napoleon Dynamite, should I do spring rolls or lettuce wraps? And he's like, I like lettuce wraps. Lettuce wraps? No, you're fired. Get out. Get off my cookie.
And also, like, why are you asking Napoleon Dynamite? He is like, he's been terrible on every challenge except for one. Like, his best challenge is where his, like, shining moment was that he wrote a meticulous book. Okay. Like, it was not even cooking oriented.
Oh,
it was
yeah,
like he had a composition book. Okay. Yeah. So Sarah, meanwhile, she's like, well, I've never done grits. I want to do grits. I'm going to do cauliflower grits. I'm like, that's nice and all, but you're in Macau. Like, what are you doing making cauliflower grits in Macau? What are you doing, Sarah?
And who does for a cooking show? Like, grits. I do grits. I'm going to do cauliflower grits. Gross. Why would you do second-rate wannabe grits?
That's the other thing. I feel like if you're going to do grits in Macau, you do, like real grits because you want to be like, I'm bringing some of my world to your world, not like I'm bringing a faux version of my world to your world, you know? And I got nothing against cauliflower grits. I'm totally open to them. I'm just saying in this example, do a real grit.
Yeah.
Do a true grit.
True grit. Okay. Fantastic movie. But I think that both Sarah and Adrian were like waiting for the fat kid challenge, which never came this season, you know?
You're right. So then Michelle's like, I think that like what I'm going to do is a dumpling, but I'm going to use lettuce instead of a wrapper. And A, I was like, don't do that. And B, I just knew that somewhere Nilu was like, pot sticker alert.
I know. Like, no one listens to Nilu. Even now, they're like, who needs to do a pot sticker? Nilu's like,
why can't I just get a normal pot sticker? It's either in a soup, it's in a lettuce thing. Like, just make me a pot sticker.
So then they go back to the market. And Kelsey, who was just saying that old lady is her best friend in the market, the lady's like, hi, do you remember me? And Kelsey's like, oh my God, I forgot. I was like, you bitch.
I thought that's what happened also, but it was that Kelsey had left something there earlier in the day, I think.
Oh, I was so mad at Kelsey.
Me too.
I was like, oh, way to just lump all seniors in together, Kelsey.
I had the same thought too, and then I realized that she had left something there. I think, you know, people, feel free to correct us on this very unimportant point. So, yeah, so then they get home and they're going to go to a fancy dinner that night. And so while they go to this dinner, it's nice. This woman does this crazy like tea kettle thing, this like dance, which I enjoyed. And in fact, I was mad that we didn't get to see more of it and that they edited it all up. Like, give us like a long, why are you cutting? But let's see her. I wanted to see the tea kettle move.
You wanted
better.
The full tea kettle experience?
I did. It felt like a teapot dome scandal to me.
Really? Because I was like, go to college.
Major in anything other than teapot swirling.
Yeah, who majors in teapot dancing? Get out of here.
Get out of here with your teapot dance. So the basically Adrian is like talking about how excited she is about making some super spicy pork belly, and so Kelsey's like, I gotta change my plan because I don't want to have like pork belly also when she's doing pork belly, yada yada yada.
Yeah, and they both give Napoleon Dynamite. They're like, wow, I mean, he's really good with pork loin, so I'm not going to do pork loin because he's helping her with that. And I'm like, you guys, he got kicked off on a meat challenge after being on the bottom the week before in a meat challenge, okay?
He was
butchery
always on the bottom
is not
for his
the
meat.
Same. Yeah, butchery is not necessarily the same as cookery, okay?
Yeah.
I learned that from Top Chef, y'all.
She kept on saying, like, Brian, who's the meat king, is going to make the best pork belly. I'm like, what are you talking about? He fucked up every single meat challenge that he was on. Okay.
Yeah.
Literally, the only thing he didn't fuck up was writing in a composition book. Okay.
Yeah. Waiter instructions. So then Sarah is over with Eddie, your favorite, and she's got all these live shrimp laid out on a tray. And she goes, hey, Eddie, you think those are fresh enough? And he was like, yeah. Like, he doesn't get it. Which is so funny. Sarah's like, God damn it. Can't win with this fucking group.
And then there's all this like cooking. And then there's like a random shot of Michelle drinking like a little soda and she just drinks it and then just like smiles the camera like she's in like a home video. She's like, I don't know. It was so random. It was so sweet and so endearing. And I'm like, of course she's smiling at the camera and being quiet.
that's Michelle.
Yeah.
I think they just kicked Michelle off because they wanted a couple of episodes where they didn't have to like overdub her voice.
They didn't want to like have to put the gain at 12.
Yeah. Oh, there's only so much budget we have for special effects, Michelle. Okay.
And she has the most, she's the quietest one, and she's the only one who actually has an interesting backstory. She's like, I'm very quiet. I enjoy drinking a soda while I cook. And my grandmother worked for the most violent tribe in all of Mexico.
I know. Anyway. We're like, wait a minute. Her mother's a Native American gangster. Can we rewind that again, please?
I remember I used to really enjoy making salads as a child when my mother was outside torturing people who snitched. I'm like, what?
The last time I used something that looked like fingers in my meal, it was actual fingers that my grandma took because the loan was late. So
she gives that little scrunch smile. Like,
and then she does that little smile. She's actually becoming my favorite. So
yeah. Team
so anyway,
I'm Team Michelle and Sarah.
Yeah.
Just for
so
the
there's. I mean, I like Hills. I actually like all of them, to be honest. But she's Eric was my favorite for a while, but now Michelle is actually my favorite. So there's like some really like dull drama about Kelsey's black eyed peas. Like, are they too soft? Are they too soft? It's like, don't cook them another second. Okay. Don't. It's like, oh no, the black eyed peas, you know?
She tells Napoleon Dynamite, she's like, question, are you the tallest person in the world? And he's like, I'm the tallest person I've ever seen before, but I don't know. And she goes, well, I'm the blondest. Nice to meet you. I'm like, you have like a foot of fucking root.
I know. Padma leans in, fake blonde.
Yeah. Fakest blonde. Congratulations.
That must be, that's not me. It must be the wall settling. Bye. Like really, she's really bad at haunting them.
So let's see here. Everybody cooks.
And then there's a commercial break after that black eyed peas thing, and then it comes back. It's like Kelsey's like, guess what? They're fine. They're perfect. I'm like, of course. Thanks. Thanks for like making us actually care about this for a millisecond, and then be like, no, everything's fine. We knew it'd be fine.
Well,
we knew it'd be
Kelsey.
Fine.
Kelsey, she's like the person who goes on Big Brother but has watched too much I guess a housewife would be better. Like, she's watched too much Housewives, so they're just trying to do all like starting fights just because they know they should. You know,
right.
She does the right. It's like she knows when a commercial break's coming up. You know, it makes me crazy. So we come back and she's like, the beans turned out perfectly. It is a powerhouse of flavor. Like, oh, shut up, Kelsey.
So then the guests start to arrive, and the judges too. And then there's like drummers, and then the dragons. Let's Chinese New Year's. The dragons. I thought they were dragons. I don't know. I don't want to be an ignorant white person right now, but I just assumed they were dragons. But they were doing a dance, and then afterwards, Padma goes, "Who knew lions could twerk?" I was like, I thought, aren't those dragons, Padma? But maybe I'm the one who should be like, they're not dragons, they're lions. I don't know.
Look at those dragons dancing around in the dog park like Gail's there with bacon in her pocket.
Oh, those dragons look positively as happy as Gail after she finds an old ice cream cone on the floor.
I like what Padma really said, because the dance ends and she goes, that's amazing. And just the tone that only Padma could pull off.
That's amazing for a totally uncoordinated Gale dance.
So they start serving, and you know, they start giving the guests all their stories. They're just out of stories, like I've said a million times in this recap. But Eric's like, yeah, we went to the Red Market today. There were people, there was culture, and it just kept going by. And I was like, just be quiet and serve. Like, if you don't have a story, just serve me the food, okay?
It was a sidewalk. We walked on the sidewalk. It was amazing. They actually created stones for us to walk on and put them in perfect squares that fit next to each other.
He's like, people in stores. He's like, fascinating story, Eric. Okay.
So Adrian's starting to fall behind because she has a lot of components on her dish. And then, and also because she's got an idiot behind her.
Yeah, and she's also doing that thing where Adrian does, where she makes everything sound super fancy, like watermelon ceviche. Adrian, really? Okay, so this one, she's like, we have a lot of projects we didn't finish before I started having babies in Connecticut on a farm. So now, instead, we're cutting broccoli to order. I'm like, so you're half-assed. That's a really fancy way of saying we're half-assing broccoli.
We're behind on our broccoli prep. That's what that means.
Yeah.
Cutting broccoli to order. It sounds like it's like this like fancy technique. Yeah. It's called, get some kitchen shears.
Ow!
So,
ow!
Did you, did you? Oh dear! It looks like Ronnie just gailed himself.
Sorry, I'm very out of shape, and I tried to like kneel on my couch because I'm getting restless sitting on a stool, and I Charlie horsed myself.
If it makes you feel any better, there's like some muscle in my like butt or my hip. I can't tell where it is. It's like the union between the two that has been spasming this entire recap. I'm like, little.
That hurt it did.
So, okay. So Padma goes to Michelle's station and Michelle serves a pork lettuce wrap with, so basically her lettuce dumpling is a lettuce wrap with cold noodle salad and peanuts two ways, which is cool. And then Tom goes to Adrian's station, has this fried sticky rice cake, and Tom's like, it's good. I was hoping for more, sort of like what I said to my son when he said he was going to be a mixologist. I said, I was sort of hoping for more for you, but you know, that's fine if you want to pour triple sec into things.
Dad's going home hungry. So, and Graham's like, and depth. Okay. And he's like, but it's good. It's like, thanks a lot, Tom. Okay. Thanks for ruining my life. And then being like, but it's good. Yeah, so then, Eric has like a coconut lychee thing with crispy pork ears and Thai chili. And Padma's like, you're a bit timid with the chili, Eric. I mean, this is the area of the world that can handle it. Ha, ha, ha. I'm surprised. And he's just like, really, bitch?
Wow, why so timid? You're shaking like Gale walking by a wolf.
You're like an ice cream cone Gale passes by.
You're like a potato that just been spotted by Gale.
Yeah. You're the last French fry in a basket.
You're like that French fry that fell out of its containers at the bottom of the bag and thinks it's going to sail off to freedom. And then Gale looks in there one more time and is like, oh, no, I've been spotted. Goodbye, friends and family.
So then Sarah is serving her shrimp, which.
I just want to say another thing about Eric's thing.
Oh, yeah.
So Padma's like shaming him for not using enough chili. And then Jouette is like, do you think that like maybe some rice would be good to soak something up like this? And I just was imagining Padma being like, hold on, Jouette, I'll handle this. Did you mean to forget the rice? There.
Nailed it.
Nailed it.
But Eric's response is also pretty weird because he's like, okay, but I wanted to be true to the challenge. Which would rice be anti-true to the challenge? I didn't really understand that.
I mean, to be fair, I mean, you never find rice in Asian cuisine.
Yeah, true. Yeah. True. Super rare. But were they only allowed to use things on their tray? They could use other things, right?
They could use other things. I guarantee they could use rice because Adrian used rice.
But maybe she had rice on her platter or whatever.
No.
I don't know. She just, I don't remember.
She had ginger and like broccoli and like a gift certificate to Friendly's in Central Connecticut.
So Sarah, whose tray said happiness on it, which just cracks me up because Sarah's face is like, hey, welcome, I'm happiness. It's like, this is like the emoji movie gone totally wrong, you know? It's like smiley face.
I'll tell you what happiness is finally getting off a stupid, overly glitzy elevator. That's happiness.
So Tom's like, nice.
Yeah, that's good.
Graham's like, this feels Southern style. I mean, I taste the vinegar. Solid dish. I'm like, guys, this is not a Southern challenge, okay?
So Padma goes over to Kelsey's, and Kelsey serves this like mushroom broth with peas and greens and orange rinds and stuff. And Padma goes, Kelsey, I think you've done a really good job of blending your background with these Chinese flavors. And I guess what I'm trying to say is now I finally know what useless tastes like. Your background, right?
Wow, Kelsey, your dish tastes like poor children dancing around in a hose.
Wow, your dish tastes sort of like Chinese culture meets slut. I like it.
Whoa, your food tastes like waiting for a bus. Fantastic work, Kelsey.
It's not quite up to my liking, but just send it to Gale. She'll eat anything. Bless her heart. She'll even eat your food.
P.O. Box garbage disposal. Neelu will find it.
Neelu, can you take this box of Kelsey's slop over to Gale? Thank you. Is Neelu here? No.
So they're starting to kind of talk about everything. Tom's talking about Graham. He's talking about Eric with Graham.
Well, Grant,
you know, that was a little sweet. You know, I need more of a pop of acid. And then
it's the sort of balance that like a chef would understand. Maybe not so much a mixologist, but you know, that's just the hard truth of life.
This was a little stirred, not shaken. You know, the opposite of risky, like James Bond. You know.
Yeah. It's like when you try to teach your son, like, well, as long as you're going to be a mixologist, let me show you how to make a homemade sour mix. And he's like, got it, Dad. I have a bottle of it that I bought at the store. And you say, okay, serenity now. Serenity now.
So then over with Padma, my favorite part of the episode, probably America's favorite part.
Yeah, this was what we were all waiting for.
She goes over to taste Adrian's food and she goes, if you were trying to burn my palate, you win. And then... Adrian's like, it's kind of hard to burn your palate. And she's like, I meant temperature.
Now, I know what you're saying, because I'm already very hot. Hotter than any of you people. But even this was too hot for me, the hottest person here.
So then the judges all agreed that it's really yummy. Don't know why I needed to write that down. So let's go to judges' table. Swing!
Judges' table. Swing! So the top two are
Padma has just crazy robot eyes in this. Like, Padma always has, like, Padma robot eyes when she's waiting for people to walk out. But in this one, she's really like, like, she's ready to blow at somebody.
Yeah, I'm about to say. I'm so horny here in Macau.
And Adrian's already argued with her, so you know that she's on the fucking warpath. So we finally get some Padma on the warpath this season, because it hasn't really happened to my memory.
Yeah. So Kelsey and Michelle are in the top and the judges are like praising them, et cetera. And I think this is about, maybe Michelle's dish. I don't know. Tom goes, you know, too often young chefs are looking for that Instagrammable dish that if it doesn't photograph well, like, it's like it didn't even happen. I mean, you just like give up and become mixologists all of a sudden. I mean, what is this world we've come to?
He's like, yep. You know, normally it has to look good, but here it just can look like slop and taste mediocre. I really like how you've all weaved this in with your stories. Now, fortunately, your stories are extremely boring, and you all come from pretty uneventful lives, but, you know, we ate it, so the hotel room's nice. So,
And Kelsey, what I liked is that with you, it's not about looking good, it's about tasting good, and that's what you did. I'm like, did he just call her dish ugly? Padma's like, I agree. She is ugly. Oh, we're talking about her food? Oh.
Let's make her cry. I thought we were talking about her blouse. Never mind. Someone just turned me back on when it's my turn to talk.
Hey, Kelsey, when you made this dish, did you think about your child at home who's taking its first steps while you're here in Macau? Are you crying yet? You want to cry? We can make you cry if you want.
So Padma's like, all of you did a great job, but there were two that stood up. Kelsey, because of her terrible shorts, and Michelle, because no one knows if she can speak or not. Michelle.
I'm terrified of her grandmother, so she automatically is in the top.
Michelle, your pork stuffing was very balanced. I'm like, wait a second. The top dish is pork sausage stuffing in a lettuce wrap. Top chef this season, fix yourself. That's the most boring shit I've ever heard of.
I'm not mad at that.
I'm mad at it, and I still love Michelle. I'm still rooting for Michelle.
So then who was the winner? Was it Michelle was the winner?
It was Kelsey again.
Oh, Kelsey, that's right. So then it's time to look at the bottom three.
And this is when Kelsey makes me love her even more, because she's like, I didn't have the most confidence because I'm from Alabama, but now I think I can win the whole thing. And I'm like, kick her off.
Means you're going home next week.
Yeah, I hate when people say that.
Padma's like, the rest of you, I know it must be nerve-wracking to stand there, especially because I'm hot and you're not. But try to persevere.
The winner of what not to wear.
Gail. Oh, that's so funny. I didn't know she was in the running. I sort of thought she had an honorary victory in that category.
Congratulations. You won a year off for doing nothing. So Eric's
now they're talking about Eric's food, and Tom's like, you know, Eric, the thing is, it was too sweet. And Padma's like, yeah, there's a lack of clarity to it. It felt muddy, sort of like the ponchos Gail likes to get at Dress Barn.
I couldn't pick out the different spices. And Eric's like, I respectfully disagree, because it's curry. So even if you have curry from everywhere, you know, you can't pick out the spices. It's still good. I mean, everyone and their mother makes a curry. And Tom's like, well, you know, my mom doesn't, so... There goes that argument. Okay. Huh? You know, now I'm wondering if my mom didn't do enough. Kind of like my wife, you know?
I'm rethinking everything.
Listen, rude person. It's not that I have to pick out the ingredient. I just want some complexity to that curry. I don't want it to be all Gail and Nilu watching Friends on a Thursday night.
So he's mad, and Padma has now been sassed twice, so she's pissed, okay? Yes. So then we go over to Sarah, and Tom's like, cauliflower grits, huh? Whoa. Well, God, community college would have been better than this. And she's like, you know what, maybe I needed a pound or two of butter, all right? And Padma's like, it ain't salty, Sarah. Would you like to argue with me now? She's like, I'm not going
to
get that.
To me, the broth was a little bit too much because of the Gale. I'm sorry, did I say Gale? Because of the ham hock.
So Graham is like, Adrian, you know, one bite. You gave us one bite. I mean, it's New Year's, you know, so we might have wanted more for that. She's like, I disagree because a small bite, I mean, that was fun for me. It's like one person argues and it's like wildfire, you know?
Exactly. So then, and then Tom's like, you know, all the components, they were really good. It's just they didn't really talk to each other, you know? Sort of like when my son turned down a full scholarship to the Culinary Institute of America to become a mixologist without even telling me. He just didn't talk to me. Like your ingredients, didn't talk.
Speaking of not talking, everyone get out. I yelled that three times today.
I'm pissed.
So they leave, and this is where Padma is unleashed.
She is so mad.
She is so pissed that Eric spoke back to her. She is not going to be able to handle it, and it's cracking me up this whole time.
She has a full-on, like, Steven Spielberg courtroom drama moment. She's like, Eric did not highlight the lychee or that water chestnut. I am mad. Mad.
She was pissed. It was so funny. And he's like, conceptually, I want more lychee. And Graham goes, you know what? Here's what I think about the lychee. I'm like, oh, really? You're going to argue with the local about how to pronounce lychee, Graham?
Graham.
So then I was mad, and then Padma's mad, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm totally with Padma today.
Yeah, and they thought that Sarah's was too salty, and the cauliflower didn't work, and Adrian's didn't have enough flavor, et cetera, et cetera. And they also really resented that Adrian's was so small. So finally, Tom's like, you know what? New Year's, it revolves around food. You know, when you invite people into your home, you cook for them, and it's about being as generous as you can be. Sort of like, you know, when you provide everything for your spoiled son, and he spits in your face to take a job at Chili's, you know? Like, who does that to the generosity of a world-famous father? Who does that?
All right, well, one son left us wanting more. So Padma?
And Padma's like, Adrian, please pack your knives and go. Unfortunately, it's not you, Eric, Sassafras Eric.
Adrian, have fun going back to Connecticut or wherever the hell you're going. I don't care. Bye.
Then hopefully, congratulations on wanting to drop a little white litter in White Town. Bye.
So Padma goes, it was great to get to know you and taste your food. And Adrian goes, thank you, and you're a very lovely host. I didn't say judge or tastemaker, just a host, Padma. Were you trying to burn me? I wasn't listening.
Burn me once, shame on you. Burn me twice, go home, Whitey. and that's pretty much it. Adrian's like, well, I'm going home, but I still am going to have a family. Possibly, maybe. I don't know. I don't know. My earlobes hurt. Tell you that much.
And then it's like the end curtains.
The end curtains. At least I have my Oscar. Little Eddie Redmayne callback.
And that brings us to the end of another episode of Cauliflower Grits and Butter. Am I right, Gail?
You guys, that was fun. Come see us in Cincinnati next week because we're going to have a great time. We'll see a bunch of you guys, a whole grip of you guys in D.C. this Friday. We're going to see another grip of you guys in South by Southwest on Tuesday. It's going to be so fun. Yeah. So fun.
Everybody, thanks so much for being here. We will see you tomorrow when we'll be back live streaming on TV Party with our Pump Rules recap. Also, if you guys miss these TV live streams and want to watch them on El Internet, come to Patreon. You can watch them on your smart TV and your phone, whatever you want. Just go to Patreon. We love you guys. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye, everyone. Bye.
from Marvel Studios.
So you're a race of noble warriors?
Heroes. Noble warrior heroes.
Oh, oh.
On March 8th.
So how do you expect us to put the fate of the universe in the hands of one person?
I don't think you have a choice.
Marvel Studios, Captain Marvel.
Is Fury your real name? What does your mom call you?
Just Fury.
In cinemas, March 8th. Click on the ad to see more.